Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this day and for this time to gather here. Lord, I thank you for your word and the truth that is there in it. I thank you, Lord, that salvation can be found for anyone who's looking for it. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today they would find Christ. Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, for anyone here that, again, is born again, but Lord, they're not living for you, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal that in their life, in their hearts, convict them of their sin, Lord, and bring them to repentance, Lord, so that they may come before you and get things settled and straightened out and start living for you as they're supposed to. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us this day. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word, and Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis this morning. Book of Genesis chapter 39. And as most of you know, I was involved with the Bible boot camp this past week. And while there, the life of Joseph just kept coming to my mind. And so I thought I'd take a brief break from Acts and preach on Joseph this morning. So Genesis chapter 39 is where we're going to be. And we're going to be looking really at the whole chapter through chapter 40 and also chapter 41. I'm not going to make you stand and read, stand with me as we read 39, 40, and 41. I'm not going to be that cruel to you this morning. But I would like you to stand with me when you get there. I want to read a few verses out of those chapters. And we're going to be looking at really one of my favorite people in the Bible. I love Joseph's because, number one, you can't find anything negative about him. It's not that he was a sinless person. We all understand that's not the case. But he was definitely favored by God and that nothing was negative recorded about him. And I think that's telling based off of how he lived his life. I believe there's a pattern there and that God was able to use him to do mighty things with. He was a young man who dealt with a lot. But then he also never allowed his circumstances to dictate his responses to his life situation. He easily could have grown bitter and resentful, but he chose to instead to trust God and trust that God had a purpose for everything that he experienced and was going through. If life has not gone exactly as how you thought it would, or maybe you've been subjected to some painful experiences, number one, know and understand that you're not alone. You are not alone. Number two, know that God can still use you to do great and mighty things. Even if you're the one who's messed up, even if you're the one who's caused the offense, the ball's in your court to do something with it and get right before God. And God can still use that. So today, let's look at our text and learn how Joseph was able to respond appropriately when he was to being sold into slavery by his own brothers, falsely accused then by his master's wife and cast unjustly into prison. So if you would, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read just a few verses this morning. Chapter 39, we'll start in verse 1, read the first three verses here. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now jump down to verse number 19. So what happens in between verse 3 and verse 19 is the whole temptation of Joseph by his master's wife. She was trying to seduce him, and he resisted that, and ultimately she made a false accusation against him, which brings us to verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, those false accusations, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But notice verse 21, we see this again. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So this morning I'd like to preach a message with the title simply, Life Lessons from Joseph. Life Lessons from Joseph. And so looking forward to digging into this a little bit deeper. So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated. Now I understand it's a Sunday morning, and hopefully everybody, you've had your coffee or your tea or whatever your morning routine is to help you wake up and get ready for the day, because I'm about to ask you to do something very hard, very challenging. I understand this, but I believe this is God's will for us this morning. I'd like you to put on your imagination cap. All right, can you do that for me this morning? I want you to put on your imagination cap. Mine, I wish I had it up here with me. It's a little ball cap with a small brim. It's red, yellow, white, and blue. It's got a little helicopter on top. That's my imagination cap, and I put that on whenever I really want to get into deep thought. So I want you to imagine this with me. You are in the prime of your youth, and you are the favored child in a very large family. You're the favorite child, and everybody knows it. Your father, he's very wealthy, and he just loves to lavish you with gifts. You have the absolute very best of everything, including a very brand new fashion-forward coat of many colors. I mean, you are hot stuff. Sure, your siblings, they're going to be jealous of you, but hey, that's the nature of the game, right? What's our world like to say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what's going on here, okay? Life is grand, and it couldn't be going any better. Now, while you cannot help the fact that you are indeed your father's favorite child, you also are astute enough, humble enough to recognize that the blessings in your life are really coming from God, not your earthly father. One day, your father, he calls you into his office, and he asks you to go and check on your siblings. Go check on your brothers, go see how they're doing. They've taken the family flocks, your father's business, out of ways, and he just wants to know how things are going. He wants a progress report. And so you take off in search of your brothers, you go seeking and you find them, and then the next thing you know, you're being thrown into a pit and being sold off as a slave. Hardly how you thought your day was going to end. Through no fault of your own, you now find yourself in the position of being a slave in an unfamiliar country. And so what do you do? What do you do now? How do you respond? This is the exact scenario that Joseph found himself in. He could have allowed a spirit of hate and resentment to fester and brood in his heart towards his brothers. One thing I like to do, I like to read some of the classic novels, like The Three Musketeers, the Moby Dick, Adventures of Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, those, the classics. One book I read not too long ago, I reread probably for the fifth time, The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Has anyone else read that book by curiosity? Oh, good. So you can understand what I'm about to relate. The whole premise of that book is that the young hero, the main character, he is unjustly and falsely betrayed and accused of something he didn't do, and he was cast into prison for years, and lost the love of his life. He lost his father. He died while he was in prison, and just everything was against him. And he allowed his circumstances to really brood in his heart this deep-seated revenge plan for what the rest of the book is all about carrying out. Joseph easily could have allowed himself to fall into that same trap, to just spend all that time in prison just brooding, wondering, okay, if I ever get the opportunity, how can I exact my revenge on my brothers? He could have done that. He also could have done the exact opposite. He could have just given up, just completely resigned himself towards his fate, and going into really just an empty shell of his former life, just an automaton, just going about doing his business, serving his master, basically as a robot, completely just without feeling and dead to self. Instead, though, Joseph did something that I believe we should remember when we find ourselves in a time of great trial, in a time of great affliction. And point number one this morning, I want you to see this, that Joseph remained faithful to God in trials. Joseph, he stayed faithful to God in the times of deep, intense trials of life. Now, I think it's safe to say that none of us here today can relate to Joseph in the sense that we've been sold into slavery. I don't believe any of us can identify with that. But it's very possible that we have felt the pain of betrayal at the hands of a loved one. Someone that you trusted. Someone that you loved metaphorically stabbed you in the back without so much as a warning. Perhaps it came from the hateful words of a sibling who has shut you out because of your religious or your political views. It could have come from the actions of your best friend, the person that you thought would be there with you through thick or thin, when they spread lies and rumors about you. Maybe it came from the unfaithfulness of a spouse that ruined your marriage. No matter what form it takes, we all either have or will at some point and some time experience the pain that comes from betrayal. So what do we do when that happens? How should we respond in a manner that will bring glory to God? Because that ought to be our number one focus, our number one goal. How can we even think, actually, about bringing God glory while we are in the midst of such pain? God, I am hurting so bad right now. Why do you want me to think about what brings you glory? I just want to feel better. I just want the pain to stop. Joseph was there himself, but it did not stop with feelings of betrayal. He was now a slave in an unfamiliar place. He no longer had a voice towards the direction in his life. He could not just get up and go. It was now up to the powers that be that would dictate and decide his fate and his future. Going back home, not an option for Joseph. He couldn't just set out and make a new life for himself in Egypt. He was a slave. He could not do anything else because he no longer had the right to choose. Now, you're not a slave, but doesn't it feel like your circumstances are dictating your life instead of you? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes, how you're in a position to where you don't really have a choice in how things go? You just are kind of forced to go down a certain path, whether you want to or not. Let me give you an example. Government. It seems like the government wants to dictate everything about you, how you think, and all these different things. We just so happen to live in a state where the government wants to insert itself. Really, the federal government, too, but they insert itself into every conceivable area of your life. It wants to dictate what you think, how you act, and what you do. Now, I'm thankful we're past this, at least now, but everybody remember the COVID and the vaccine mandates that came down? Yeah. They're proof of this. We all here have our own thoughts and positions on the vaccine. I'm not here to discuss any of that. I want to be clear that I support whatever stand you take on that. Why? Because it's your choice. It's you. It's your body. I don't care what you do with your choice. In fact, missionaries all over the world, and missionaries that we even support, they opted to get the vaccine so they could stay in the field that they were in. They felt that was God's will for them. I support that decision. They're there serving those people. But there's others who have a very strong aversion to it, and I support that as well. So I'm not here to speak about that or cast judgment one way or the other, but I do want to point out that thousands of jobs were lost because people chose to not get it. That's just a fact. The freedom to choose what went into their bodies was being ripped from their hands, and their pleas fell on deaf ears. It was either get the vaccine or lose your job. It's kind of a hard choice if you're a sole breadwinner. It's kind of a hard choice to be in if you need that job. Some counties, even in our own state, they refused, if you remember, you couldn't even go into certain restaurants if you didn't have proof of vaccination. That's how bad it got. Now, that was that. Now, get to the education system. Critical race theory, still a big deal. In the public schools, it's being pushed into all areas of study. Did you know math was racist? That's interesting. Anyways, sorry, this is what happens when you look at news. You go crazy, that's what happens. The school superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools, listen to what he said. He says, our curriculum is deeply using critical race theory, especially in social studies, but you'll find it in English language arts and the other disciplines we made. We were very intentional about creating a curriculum, infusing materials, and embedding critical race theory within our curriculum, as was stated by many speakers. And so maybe you have a kid who's in public school, and you don't want your kid exposed to the racist teaching of critical race theory, but you don't really have a say into what your kid's being taught at school, do you? Parents are not being allowed to have a say in what their children are learning, even if what they're learning is an easily proved lie. It's kind of your hands being forced. And the fact of the matter is, our rights and our freedoms are being slowly taken from us. And so how does that make you feel? What emotions are you feeling when you understand what is happening? More importantly, how do you respond biblically? That's what we need to be concerned about. Look at what Joseph did. He kept his faith in God. He didn't allow his circumstances to dictate everything about his response. He kept his faith in God and allowed that to dictate it. His life was falling apart seemingly around him, but he dedicated every moment to serving God. Look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 39. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph cared more about honoring God with his life than what he did about the circumstances of his life. So how does that help us with our problems today? Joseph availed himself to every means available to deal with his situation. Granted, as far as we know, he couldn't really do anything except continue to worship the Lord. He couldn't leave. I mean, he left the room as much as he could. But fortunately for us, we have more options. If you're a parent with your kids in school, you can write to the school board. You can get involved there. You can write your elected officials, things like that, if you're concerned about your political rights. We can try to go through counseling when we're trying to deal with broken relationships. We can do all these different things. There are a number of things we can do, but we must not forget this lesson from Joseph, that no matter what happens, faithfully follow the Lord one day at a time. I like going back to my elephant analogy. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You're in your deepest, darkest trial of your life. How do you get through it? More importantly, how do you get out of it? One day at a time. Don't focus on the enormity of it. Just focus on getting through that day. Get through that moment. Have the Lord help you through that time. We must always remember that God has a purpose for everything, and that the greatest good will come from staying in His will. The entire time that Joseph was a slave, he kept his faith in God, and God blessed him for it. So not only did Joseph remain faithful to God in times of trial, point number two, Joseph remained faithful to God in temptations. His master's wife was relentless in her attempts to seduce Joseph, and ultimately lied about him in spite out of spite rather, in order to get him in trouble. When he wouldn't give in, she just, all right, fine. I'm going to make your life miserable. And now while I am confident that Joseph protested his innocence, I don't think he just sat there and silently took it. I believe he said, this is not true. His master did not believe him, and he was cast into prison. Has anyone ever been lied about? Am I the only one? Okay, good. We've been lied about. People have said things that were not true about us. I remember a time, this was back in, I was in Oklahoma, I was in Bible college. I had a coworker who once tried to get me in trouble by lying about me. Now, we'd been talking about random things, and then the conversation somehow got to the point to where we were both of very different and unmovable positions. We were not going to agree. And instead of escalating the situation further, I decided to just abruptly end the conversation. We're done talking here. And we both agreed to just leave the issue alone. I wasn't one of the leads, but my supervisor, he was present, and he observed everything that was going on, and he agreed that was the best course of action. Well, the next day, I found out that my coworker that I had been having this disagreement with, he had called the company that morning and not only tried to get me into trouble, but he also lied about the nature of our conversation. So, very long story short, HR got involved, and I was ultimately absolved of any wrongdoing. They found out the truth, and I was fine. The truth came out that he had lied, and the whole thing backfired on him. Now, during that whole investigation, I, of course, protested and purposed to be honest and truthful about the whole thing. I disclosed what we were talking about, how the conversation went, and how we agreed to let things be. And I think just because they felt like they had to, HR did write me a little letter, but basically just telling me to be more careful about what I was talking about. Okay. I was lied about, though. I was upset. And then I was faced with a choice of how to respond. Remember, I'm in Bible college at this time. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm studying to become into ministry. And while I did purpose to be honest and truthful throughout the whole investigation, I wish I could say that I responded the way Joseph did. I got mad at my coworker who lied about me. And if I can be completely honest with you, I rejoiced the day he got fired. I still remember that day. I still remember how I felt. I still remember how I responded. I rejoiced. I'm not proud about it, but that's the truth. That's what happened. I did not bring God glory that day when my coworkers saw me rejoicing over someone else losing their job. Joseph was faced with a pretty serious temptation. Here he was. He was a slave in a foreign land, and his master's wife approaches him with an enticing offer. He easily could have justified it. He deserved to please himself after all that he's gone through. I mean, come on, look around. I'm a slave. My family doesn't care about me. My family doesn't want me. I'll be a slave for the rest of my life. Why not indulge in this unexpected opportunity? At least there will be something pleasurable to make my bleak existence less miserable. Joseph easily could have justified the sin of adultery, at least to himself. He never could have justified it to God, and Joseph knew that. Joseph knew that God's ways are higher than man's ways, and that God had a purpose behind everything that happens. And so with that knowledge, Joseph made the choice to remain faithful to God, trusting that God would provide him fulfillment rather than trying to temporarily fulfill his desires himself. And we see from hindsight, looking back, how God was using his circumstances to put Joseph where he needed to be in order to be in the position to provide the greatest help to not just his family, but an entire nation. So Joseph was right. God was using the situation for good, but Joseph didn't see how. He just trusted that God was. And that is where Joseph excelled, faithfully giving God glory no matter what was happening to him. Unjustly cast into prison, Joseph simply continued doing what he did best, faithfully serving God. That's the life lesson that we can learn from Joseph. God was with and blessed Joseph because Joseph lived by faith. God was not with Joseph just for no reason. It was not as if God just said, I'm going to get me glory through the life and circumstances of this man. It wasn't like that at all. Joseph had a great deal of responsibility in the Lord's working in his life. I mean, let's be honest. Do you think we'd be reading about Joseph had he responded how we most likely would have? Have you ever thought about that? If Joseph responded the way that we might respond in that situation, would we be reading about him even right now? I'd venture to say probably not. The difference is that no matter how bad life got, Joseph purposed to faithfully submit to the will of God every single day. So I want to challenge you to be like Joseph. We can confidently expect God to bless our lives when we faithfully submit to His will, just like Joseph did. He remained faithful to God in trials and in temptations. But when circumstances took a turn for the better, point number three this morning, Joseph remained faithful to God in success. He was faithful to God in trials. He was faithful to God in temptations. And he was also faithful to God in success. God raised Joseph up out of slavery and gave him a kingdom. Not just any kingdom, the largest world power of that time. By faithfully trusting God day after day, God put Joseph in just the right spot for just the right time. You see, that's how God works. That's what God does. It might seem like life is out of control, nothing seems to be going right, and you're feeling very discouraged. And it might just be that God is positioning you to where He needs you to be to bring about something grand. I'm not saying God is on purpose putting this trial into your life because He wants to do something better for you over here. What I am saying is God is going to use what you're going through as a building block for where He can do something big for you. So do you think Joseph would have eagerly gone along with God's plan if he knew what all was entailed from the very beginning? If God had revealed to Joseph, all right, Joseph, listen, I'm going to make you the second most powerful man in the world. You're going to be second command of the nation of Egypt. Everyone's going to look up to you. Everyone's going to follow your order. The only person who will be above you in seniority will be the Pharaoh himself. What do you think, Joseph? Wow, God, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. I'm going to be the second most powerful man in the world? What an honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just one catch, Joseph. I'm going to have to sell you into slavery first. Wait, what? Not only that, I'm going to allow some circumstances to come up, and you're going to be unjustly cast into prison. Really? Oh, yes. This will take several years in prison, several years in slavery. And also, I'm going to put people in your path in prison that they're eventually going to help you, but they're going to forget about you first. And you have to go through all of that misery. I don't know, Lord, if I'm in for this. You're asking a lot. I'm not sure Joseph would have gone for it if he knew everything from the beginning. If we knew the end result of our life, do you think we would go for it with the knowledge of everything in between? If we knew God was going to do something big with us, but He let us see everything that would have to happen in between to get there, how many of you think would be, all right, Lord, I'm all in? Yeah, not a hand. Mine's only up for illustration. My hand's down in reality. Of course not. Joseph had no clue what God was doing. He knew that God was good. He knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was love and kind. And so a God who was all of those things and even more would never allow a faithful servant to suffer undeservedly for no reason. There was a purpose, and it would bring God glory as well as bless the faithful servant. So again, I'm not saying that God has purposefully brought this situation into your life that's causing you all this pain. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God can use the situation that you might be in this morning for his greater glory and for your greater glory, if that makes sense. You could be like Joseph, just cast into it because of the actions of others, through no fault of your own. This is the situation you're in, so you got to deal with it. How you deal with it will dictate the end result. How much God will bless you. Joseph commemorated his faith in God by giving his sons names that would remind him of God's faithfulness every time he said them. Take a look at chapter 41. Chapter 41, and let's see, verses 50 through 52. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So Manasseh, for God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. All that troubled him, all that troubled Joseph, all those that were responsible for his hurt, God removed the pain of those circumstances from the memory of Joseph. He didn't forget about it, but the pain that's attached to that memory, God removed. Some of us may have painful memories. God has a way of removing that pain from those memories. Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God was always there and blessed Joseph through it all. What a testimony. So is that your testimony today? Would you like it to be your testimony? It's not a secret really how to do that. Again, it's just simply choosing to faithfully follow God's will for your life each and every day. God's mercies are new every morning. Praise him for that. I know I need it. Every day, it's simply choosing to faithfully follow God's will for your life. It's surrendering to that prompting to give someone a tract when you feel the Holy Spirit leading. It's surrendering to the Lord telling you to get plugged into ministries at church, get more involved. To sum up the life of Joseph as well as this message, I'll give you what I'd like to call a take-home truth. Simply, God blesses faithfulness. So let me ask you, have you been faithful to God this morning? Have you been faithful to God this last week? Have you been faithful to God this last month and year? Let me encourage you to pray and ask God to reveal areas in your life where you are living by faith, as well as areas in your life that you still need to surrender to him. Promise you, you'll never regret it. If you can't point to a time in your life where you acknowledged that you were a sinner before a holy God, and you understood that unless you got that sin taken care of, that you're going to be judged and condemned by him, I want to encourage you this morning to get that settled. Jesus came, died on a cross in your place. For your sins. Not because he wanted to do you a solid, to do you a favor, but because he loves you. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait for us to come to him and get our life in order first before he agreed to save us. Christ knew that wasn't going to happen. So he made the first move. He came to us. He's the one that extended the metaphorical olive branch. Question is, have you reached up and received it? Have you claimed for yourself the free gift of eternal life that only Jesus Christ can offer? If you've never called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, I want to encourage you this morning, do that. Get that taken care of. Don't put it off any longer. Repent of your sins. Give your life to Christ. If you have given your life to Christ, praise God. Praise the Lord. You have an eternal home in heaven awaiting you when you get there. But what are you doing today to help get you there? And who likes to travel first class? If you could. If you could travel first class, I think we would all travel first class. Well, if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. But you want to go in coach, or you want to get there in first class? You can get there in first class by just living a life of faith. Just give every day to God. Live it for His glory, not your own. All of our works are going to be tried by fire. Are they wood, hay, and stubble? Or are they gold, jewels, and precious stones? How you live your life will determine which. Yet, as by fire, we'll be saved. So this morning, I'd like to ask our musicians that they come for a time of invitation. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. If the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about something, if you need to get something right before God, I encourage you, come pray, get that right, get that taken care of. Don't put it off any longer. But as we have a time of invitation this morning, I'd like to invite you to all stand. As the music begins to play, if you have a need, I encourage you to come.